a lot of people that considered leaning into healing work and things like that, there's a lot of new practitioners and things. And I think there's this level of competitiveness or need to be seen and validated that can also create a lot of envy or psychic attack. Again, not all of it is intentional. But then there are people that are intentional, and it's a lot.
Welcome to The Outer Known, a podcast that shines a light on the outer edges of inner knowing.
FYI, today's episode contains some strong language, aka some cussing, and may not be suitable for all listeners. Listeners, we have such a special guest for you today.
So very special. I can't even, like, I'm still in awe that she agreed to talk to us.
Same. Marcella Kroll is, how to even put it, a luminary in the whole mystic world. Mm-hmm. She is someone that I have looked to for not only my early reintroduction to witchcraft in my 30s, but also just a mentor, a guide, someone who really shows up as a light in the community of spirituality, of mysticism, of exploration of witchcraft, of magic, and so on.
Mm-hmm. I could listen to Marcella share about her life and her practices all day, every day. Even her voice is just like a balm to my soul. And she's so deeply wise and so experienced and intentional and caring. And just, I love her energy all around.
She also has the cutest bearded dragon ever.
Yes. As a heads up, you will probably hear Lord's little clicky clackies throughout the episode. So don't freak out if you hear a little noisy in the background. That's just Marcella's familiar Lord, who is just a delight.
I love Lord. I'm Lord's number one internet fan.
I'm sure Lord will be thrilled to hear that.
So Marcella does readings. She creates tarot decks. She's an incredible and powerful magician as well. We've talked to her about a couple different topics this season because she just has so much wisdom to share. But for today's episode, we're talking about protection magic.
Super important topic. I think even if you don't consider yourself a witch or do not dabble in witchcraft, it's super relevant just for your life, for your digital footprint. If you're traveling, if you're having some kind of weird energy in your life, this is so, so applicable to so many things. And I so appreciate that Marcella shared with us what she did.
Absolutely. Much good advice to come in this interview. And I hope you enjoy it, listeners.
Hi, Marcella. Welcome to The Outer Known.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
We are thrilled to have you here.
So you are an artist, a hereditary oracle, a creator. You've made several tarot decks. Mm-hmm. You're also a priestess. We're so excited to hear all about how you got started.
Yes.
So I wanted to start back at the beginning. What was your first experience with the divine?
Well, I mean, childhood through play and unintentional connection, I guess, which I always was attracted to the invisible and the mystical. A lot of times it got kind of dismissed as being fantasy or imagination. Mm. But, you know, come to find out as an adult in finding like my birth father and understanding that it's actually something that's inherited through his line specifically. And there is some magical inheritance, I guess, from my mom's side, but a lot of that was kind of erased or disappeared through Catholicism. But finding out that my biological father's mother was a tarot reader and a psychic, and he has gifts, and my great-grandmother also was institutionalized for seeing things. That was one reason. I mean, there's multiple things that she was institutionalized for, but that was one of them. Mm. So, yeah, I mean, it's just been since a young age, and then more recently too. I've definitely spoken more on my like experiencer connection, which is like my ET experiencer stuff that started happening when I was like really small. Also found out that is familial as well, which I did not know. Mm. Yeah. So it's been a long time. I'll be 45 soon. So it's a long time navigating kind of these things without really, I would say, for the first 20, well, first 18 years of my life, having no real understanding of what was happening. Mm-hmm. So that was a long 18 years.
It must feel very liberating now to sort of be able to make those connections and map them onto something like tangible and like understanding that this is part of your lineage.
Yeah, it's like bittersweet, you know, it feels so good to get some explanations and at the same time to feel this kind of grief for the people in my father's lineages who weren't allowed their practices.
Yeah.
Or were punished for it, being persecuted or, you know, through many different things, whether it was through misogyny or colonialism, mm-hmm. and slavery, and having those parts of you just kind of buried, but like not knowing what they are. And growing up mostly with my grandmother, my mother's mother, who is Italian, and kind of being made to pass as, here's like our, you know, my Italian granddaughter. And it's like not the full case. So it's kind of, you get indoctrinated into religion. And I was always really curious about religion, like every religion though. Mm-hmm. I would ask my school friends, like, can I go to your temple? Can I go to your Bible study? I would walk up to the church as a little girl, there was a couple different types of churches. There was a Protestant church and a Catholic church. And I just wanted to know what it was all about. And I liked the quiet and I loved the incense and the candles. Like, I didn't equate it to some thing like a god. I just knew there's energy everywhere. So I think it was entertaining for the adults a little bit, but then it also freaked them out in big ways. Mm. Definitely freaked my mother out. The things I would say or see as a kid. Mm. I saw Grandpa Eddie in the basement. Now Grandpa Eddie's her father and he died when she was 3. So you can imagine how.
Wow.
She's like, stop. So you quickly start to think as a kid, like your visions are not real. Mm. So it's been a time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's bittersweet, like I said, because it's like, wow, what would have happened if I had like a supportive environment or someone to show me how to ground my energy or what was happening to me? Because it did get me into a lot of like drug and alcohol abuse for my teenage years, mostly. Mm-hmm. And then it shifted, but like it was pretty hard to navigate being that sensitive on all the spectrums. Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the experiencer ET side?
Yeah, I mean, I'm still a little cautious about talking about it or shy about talking about it.
Sure.
But I belong to a support group called CERO. It's Close Encounters Research Organization. They've been around for about 30 years. I started working with a therapist last year to do more hypnotherapy and therapy around experiencing contact. And in that community, it's a mixed bag. You know, there are people who say they are abductees or they're experiencers, because not everyone has like had a good experience and they do believe they were abducted against their will.
Yeah.
I feel like I had a lot of suppressed memories or forgotten things from childhood, and then things that could have been dismissed in my teens and early 20s because of my own addiction stuff, but then having moments sober, consciously and sober engagement, whether through dreams or just even being like, one experience I had was in 2013. I was subletting a place in Hollywood, and there was like a light that came in through the window, a green orb, and it had like the flight pattern of a hummingbird, and it was very erratic. Mm. Like, I thought, is that a car light? Like, what is that? There's no way that could come up at the angle. And then it hovered in front of my face, and then it dropped down into the floor and disappeared. And I was like, okay. Huh. And then immediately there was an earthquake.
Wow.
But what's wild to me is I kind of just like forgot about it. Like I kind of just was like, okay, whatever. And then last year, a friend who, you know, is an acquaintance, we were talking about contact stuff and she had different things come up, but she saw something that same night because we both remembered that specific earthquake. Huh. And she's like, we were camping in Malibu and we saw something over the sea and then the earthquake happened. So I was like, okay, maybe I'm not totally losing my marbles.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's interesting. More people are open now, but I still feel there's a lot of judgment about those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, back to my bio dad, he's had experiences. And I had asked him when I started going to this therapy. And then, you know, recently a bunch of reports came out with the Pentagon. And one of his experiences is in those reports.
Whoa.
Because he was in the military on a flight carrier.
Wow.
So it's like, okay, so these things are documented. And then apparently there's a family connection that keeps coming up more and more. And it's been coming up in the groups a lot, which I just think is fascinating. So I don't know. It's like there is this realm of connectivity to something greater than just our individual human experience. And do I think that these connectivities are real? Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that why wouldn't they be?
Yeah, 100%.
So, yeah. It's still so funny, though. It's like the fear of talking about it kind of gets activated, or the fear of being labeled like a particular brand of not fully with it comes up. And so there's just a little hesitancy with going into deeper detail.
Yeah.
Right now, for me, anyway.
Totally understand that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And thank you for sharing.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks. Thanks for asking.
And I mean, overall, you're such a person who has such a deep intuitive connection to a lot of things that are unseen. And one of the things that we have been really excited to chat with you about is your work around protection magic and energetic protection. Mm-hmm. When I was on my journey sort of coming back to witchcraft earlier in my 30s, you were one of the first teachers that I really came across. And I was dealing with a lot of codependency at the time and working through my own, you know, emotional issues, but I came across your cord cutting book. So I guess a broader question first is, what drew you to protection magic?
Necessity. Mm-hmm. Also having codependency issues or like boundary issues. Mm-hmm. I think the other thing is when you start kind of really connecting into magic, it's not something that people really talk about. They try to be like, oh, love and light and think about angels and don't think about this. And there's very real balance in all of the realms.
Exactly.
And you have to be aware of those things. And I'm always... and have always been a person that triggers people. And I say that with like, there's definitely many reasons why, but like, I mean, just even my astrological placements, my ascendant directly opposes my Saturn. So it's like creates this like authority thing. And I have my own issues with authority and people trying to control me, but there's something about the energy that when you do work and you put yourself in this position, people's stuff comes up for better or worse. And not everybody is comfortable with that. So like it works great for my work because that's what we're doing. We're trying to identify certain patterns and things and perhaps where we need some support. But that can be really reactive for people if you are showing up and they're projecting on you a particular archetype and not a lot of people are willing to take responsibility or ownership of their triggers. So I had to start learning how to protect myself because people would try to play things out. What's funny is when I was 14, no, 13, I ran away. I ran away a couple of times. When the police picked me up, one of my mom's friends actually gave me this, is it Dion Fortune? It was like a psychic self-defense book, but when I was a teen, and I was like, I don't understand this. But because nobody, like, they just handed it to me. They didn't give me the context. And I don't know, I just felt really like it makes sense that I had to move into these more protective spaces, especially not just physically. And I've been held at gunpoint in real life. You know, I've had different things come up. There's like real attacks and things that happen on the astral. And I definitely have experienced like astral assault or like just very like spiritual warfare in a way. And So I think just I teach often because of what I'm experiencing directly. I really don't teach things I don't have firsthand experience with. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's my place or my business, but if it's something that like I've had to really learn how to work through, you know, and I'm constantly learning or trying to evolve what I can share around the subject. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think it came from just like necessity.
Mm-hmm. For listeners who aren't as familiar, can you sort of explain how you would define like a psychic attack or an astral attack?
I guess from the lowest end of the scale in terms of intensity to the most extreme, jealousy or gossip, right? Those would be kind of like, I would say low ball.
Okay.
Kind of like low volume attack because it's not conscious. A lot of the times it's not conscious, mm-hmm. but it still impacts you, right? So it can feel almost like someone threw sand at you or this kind of uncomfortableness to the most extreme in terms of like attack on the astral, I would say would be entities or spirits assaulting your energy or vampirism, draining you, mm-hmm. attaching to you for source energy, or you start to feel physically sick in the body. I remember there's been a couple of times where one, the earliest memory of being almost unable to move as a teenager because something was on me and I couldn't yell, mm-hmm. I couldn't speak, and it was violating my energy. I remember a trip, for example, now, like whenever if I have to travel, I will grid and create a sacred container, like if I'm traveling in either in the hotel or the Airbnb, because I remember this one Airbnb I was in Denver, and I was having night terrors and being chased and beat up. Mm. And to me, night terrors are always an astral, like a psychic attack, because it felt so real and I was exhausted and fighting like in my like dream time. And it just can be many things. It can be so many things. Even like you start to get sick, your plants and things in your physical environment are dying. Your animals, if you have familiars, take the kind of brunt of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's maliciousness. Sometimes it's people wishing you ill will because they want what you have. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, again, like I said, it can be unintentional where it's just gossip and envy. It really just depends. Some people will target people because they think that they have something, again, like, oh, you have this job and I want it, you know? Mm-hmm. And they play dirty. So I think we should all be able to kind of create safety zones for ourselves where we're able to counter that energy. Mm-hmm. Because I don't believe that just, well, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. Mm-hmm. It's not meant to be constantly berated by someone's energy because they cannot find that energy for themselves.
Right.
So I think that's kind of also why I got kind of into it. I was sick of getting beat up, you know?
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
And I know you have quite a following on social media. How do you think psychic attack plays into the modern world and social media?
Oh my gosh, it happens so much.
Yeah.
I mean, I was doing these psychic self-defense online classes, and social media is like it's like a big landscape for that, mm-hmm. because it's so just unchecked in terms of everything's so instantaneous in front of us. And
yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's rampant, right? Mm-hmm. The comparison model that it creates and the highs and lows of having attention or not having attention, or the quickness that the amount of people that can gather when a certain piece of information comes out, and it can be good or bad, and to have things misinterpreted, and then suddenly you're getting a barrage of intense energy, and it's it definitely feels very like lawless in so many ways, especially more recently, I think, because of the amount of scammers and hackers and things like that. And then you have these authorities online, like these apps or giants in the industry, and they're not doing anything about it. So it's like kind of like a free for all.
Yeah.
And I have to say, like, my business and my work really grew because of the internet, particularly between 2014 up until, you know, recently, you know, or whatever. Let's just say from 2014 till 2020, where are we? 2022. but there was like a big boom in connectivity and exposure and being able to use that kind of like social media platforms to create connectivity. But like, that creates a web and it creates long psychic cords and netting and attachments. So we have to be really consistent with like, are we consciously connecting or is it just subconscious? Cause we're just here scrolling mindlessly and it's habit. And then also then with everything going on the last, you know, couple of years with this, like I keep calling it panorama, Panera bread, whatever. It's like
panini.
Yeah. The panini. It's like, a lot of people that considered leaning into healing work and things like that, there's a lot of new like practitioners and things. And I think there's this level of competitiveness or need to be seen and validated that can also create a lot of envy or psychic attack. Again, not all of it is intentional.
Yeah.
But then there are people that are intentional and it's a lot. You know, it's a lot to process.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that there is a huge impact. But it's going to be up to the individual to make sure that they feel like their digital spaces and places are cleared and kind of fortified, because the bigger companies that are in charge do not care. They want engagement. So they like the drama. They like, because it's more views and it's, they don't care how they get it.
Yeah.
They want you on that app longer. So
it's so true. It's so true.
I'm curious how you keep yourself grounded and how do you protect your digital footprint and your digital space, and how do you, you know, stay sane amidst all of this just ridiculousness?
I don't know about if I'm sane at all, but I mean, recently, like a few weeks ago or last month, whatever, I changed my profile to private because it was feeling too intense. I mean, but there are certain like things that I had to put into place, like with, say, with Instagram, like I turned off the reactions on my stories. I changed my comment settings. So you have to be following me in order to comment, because I was before getting like just people trolling me or. And even now, like sometimes someone will find their way and like say something and I'm just like, okay. So it's been a lot of like having to reiterate boundaries over and over again. And I know some people are like, why are you saying this again? They get annoyed. And I'm just like, because nobody's helping me regulate.
Right.
Like nobody's saying to some of these people who are being awful in like the comments, nobody's saying, like, hey, maybe don't say that. It ends up being me having to regulate. And then again, people triggered and acting like I'm their parent or I'm supposed to make everything I do palatable. So breaks definitely help, although it's hard with, I've been a little bit less fearful, but like there was a little while, like in the last year, I'm like, oh my God, like I have to be on this thing because it's my business. And people don't follow a lot of people, even though I said like, hey, like there was 3 weeks I deactivated my account because I was like, I don't even want to know that it's there.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that got triggered that emailed me were like, did you block me or texted me? None of them asked me how I was.
Wow.
And I had sent out newsletter information. I'm deactivating. I'm doing this. Like, because it wasn't there in the app, it just made me really go, okay, like there's something not right here. Also, clearly no one here is taking care of me, you know, because like even writing the app, like trying to get people who work for these different platforms to help, it's like, nah. So I have to set those boundaries and go, okay, like this is the new thing. You don't have to respond to everybody. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. But it's hard when you are actually, and I see this with a lot of people who are actually really sensitive, is like, we don't want you to feel bad. We're here to help. But there's a level of balance that has to come in. And I want to say I'm not very good at it or managing it lately, because I'm still trying to figure out like how to live in this new reality. And I also had to move in all of this. Like, even though I didn't move that far, I left the place I was living for I mean, not the actual place for 15, the city. I was in LA for 15 years and my last place for 6 years. And I had to move last year because I lost my apartment. My landlord's son moved in. So in the middle of that, I moved about 45 minutes south. But it's like moving to another city at this point.
Yeah.
And finding a groove and a way to find balance. Some people would be like, oh, you're so lucky you were able to work this whole time. I'm like, it's the content's really different, y'all. Like, it's not 3D love readings. This is like serious stuff where people are wanting to know about purpose and they're going through huge, monumental relationship changes and dynamics. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've been in really pivotal time.
Yeah.
So I've been working nonstop. So I guess my point is I take breaks when I can. I have to force myself. I have to give myself permission to stay away. Having my pet is super helpful because it gives me this, like, I have to care about her. Mm-hmm. I mean, and I love to care about her. And it's like, it changes the way I balance my day. Otherwise, I would probably just fade away in some particular way. And I've asked numerous times. Every year I get, for the last 4 years, I get an IFA reading because it's also in my lineage. Even though I'm not an IFA practitioner, mm-hmm. I respect and I honor the traditions because it's in my lineage. So I have a woman that I speak with once a year to just get my year ahead in like what taboos and things. And every time I try to quit, she's like, I was like, can I quit? And she's like, no. No, child, absolutely not. And I'm just like, every time she starts laughing or she'll laugh, you know, and I'm like, is this the year? Can I be done? She's like, no. So I'm just like, every time I want to quit. But it's not that I want to quit. It's that I need breaks.
Yes.
You know, that's what it is. So,
yeah.
And I feel like when you work for yourself in this particular way, sometimes it's hard to take those breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I hear you big time.
For sure. Yeah. Someone who works in tech, that's such a good point. They're giving no help. They're giving no tools. And one of the things that I've seen a lot of this year from Instagram is like one of the core audiences they're building for right now is teens. Ugh. And I'm like, no one's thinking about the impact of that,
right?
Of bringing more teens into a community that they aren't even managing correctly, you know?
Right. They don't help creators, but they want creators to like fund through advertising and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're like, but no help for you. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. We're not going to police mm-hmm. this nonsense. Mm-hmm. We're not mm-hmm. going to have actual community guidelines
right.
that are actually built for the benefit of a community.
Right. And people who are businesses, you know, yes. It's not just like tarot and astrologer people. It's like I'm seeing there's a lot of issues even like within the tattoo community mm-hmm. or even like physical shops. And I'm like, how do you regulate, you know? And there's no system for it. Like it's a very mm-hmm. celebrity obsessed culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, only a certain few can get like a blue check verification.
Yep.
But like you have to be some sort of celebrity to do that. And even if you have all of the quote unquote requirements, you still can't get it, you know? So I'm at a point now where I have been contemplating like going, okay, do I go? I had a Patreon before. I was looking at Podia. Patreon made me feel sick because it was like up, down, never enough content, never enough.
Ugh.
Like it was really hard for me to maintain and feel authentic because things ebb and flow on top of doing the personal sessions and trying to make art and things tools for other people. It just felt like there was too much output and not enough things nourishing me back.
Yep.
And I was like, well, maybe I'll decide after the planets go direct. I still haven't decided. I don't know what to do. I'm just like, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yet I'm doing this because this is my purpose.
Mm.
You know, I'm like, oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
We're still doing it. We're still here. And I'm hoping this new chapter with like I mentioned during when we first got on here, we had
mm-hmm.
signed with a literary agent. And I'm really hoping that this new chapter kind of can open up some new ways of sharing valuable or helpful support and assistance that nourishes me back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And hopefully allows you to connect offline.
Yeah.
Or create some spaces that are where you can connect to people in a much more authentic
and healthy.
Yeah, more healthy way.
Yeah. I mean, another thing too, it's like I'm also autistic and I get a little resentful in my own and ableist in my own way against myself because I keep pushing myself to do things because that's what you're supposed to do. And you're supposed to be always thinking and you're supposed to always be branding and this and that. And then I'm like being my worst kind of boss for myself. So I just don't want to do that anymore. Yeah.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, what other forms of protection magic do you practice?
Well, personally, I mean, when I shower or take a bath, I'm, you know, sea salt and lavender scrub from Trader Joe's is like such a quick and easy $5 clear your auric field option.
Love it.
I use that still. You recommended that early on with my like first reading with you. I still use it. So good.
Because it's so good. It's just like you're clearing out any, I like to say I release any cords, hook-ins, attachments, projections that I have made with anyone or anything online in real life in the astral, consciously or unconsciously. And I like just imagine that clearing my field and releasing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do candle work. I connect to the element of fire a lot. I have a lot of fire in my chart. So magically, fire really works for me in terms of releasing whether I'm lighting a candle or I'm writing what I'm letting go down and burning it. Mm. That really helps me, particularly like on my digital spaces, again, like taking space from things. Actually, right before, I've been obsessed the last 24 hours. I was like, how do I archive? I've always loved having all of every post that I've ever done up. Mm. But suddenly, before we got on, I've been like, because you can't mass archive, which is annoying. So I literally started going through today and individually archiving one by one, all my like 7,000 plus posts. I don't know how long it's going to take me, but I don't know. I just feel like it's time to delete my kind of, and not delete it fully because obviously I'm archiving it, but to just release the grips and anchors I have into my digital space. Sometimes I've done sigil work or I've posted protective symbols or gifts. Mm. Actually, I think it's funny. Not many people, some people are confused by it, but like there's the Reface app, which you can like change the picture or the movie clip to your face. So sometimes I'll find something really funny and I call it like my cleansing the timeline post and I'll do a Reface app post and literally I will lose followers.
Wow.
And that's fine because I'm just like it's doing its job. And I did that too like the other day. It was so interesting. I did this little incantation where it was like I'm ready to release anyone who's not in alignment with my highest good and growth and here to elevate me. And then I noticed there was like a couple of people that unfollowed me that I thought we were colleagues.
Wow.
And I was like, okay, I guess we're not here. They're not supportive, so that's cool. And periodic strategic things, you know, so those things do help. Also, if you're feeling like you want to put some buffering on something before you share it, definitely set an intention before you hit share, you know, make a conscious little meditative part, you know, practice out of it before you post. It helps.
I love that idea. Super easy to do too.
Yeah. It's like, you're going to spend this however many minutes or seconds like curating this thing. Why not add a little like spice or protection to it, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think when you do that too, it becomes less personal if someone isn't interested in what you're offering because you're like, well, you're less attached. Because that's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. When those numbers go down, we go, like, it messes with our self-esteem and our value. But if you're setting an intention that you're, like, not here for it, if they're not here for you, you really don't feel as bad.
Very true.
Yeah. I would definitely encourage anyone listening who's interested in protection magic to do some research and all this. I've learned a lot of other techniques around the physical space, like a witch's bottle, having, you know, even protective plants around, protective crystals that you kind of bless to pick up negative stuff, and even just like boundary work around your home. But yeah, there's so many tools available.
Yeah, I have stones and things all over my desk. I even have I even have like yarrow on my desk, just straight yarrow, because yarrow is really good for boundaries.
Yeah.
So you can either use the herb or have it, like there are tinctures of it, you know?
Yeah. I definitely have some crystals right in front of me too that I'm just like warding off, trying to be like, nope, no negative digital energy in this space.
Yes. Yes.
And Marcella, do you have any sources you would recommend of researching or learning about protective magic?
Well, you know, there's like that OG psychic self-defense book that's out there by Dion Fortune. And there are some other more pagan practices, I guess, in terms of finding magical books related to that. I think if you are in a practice where you're working with a deity, the other thing is to really get to know who your team is. Ask, you know, get to know who your teams and guides are. Ask if you have a connection to certain familiars or animals. It's like creating your work, not because you're getting them to work for you, but you're all like to live in harmony together. Touching in from a place that feels very authentic, you know, meaning like I wouldn't recommend going to like a deity that's not in your lineage and like demanding they protect you.
Right.
You know, like that's not going to work. Or your ancestors, you know, and not just like not. And then, you know, we all know like not everybody's ancestors were cool.
Right.
You know, I have a mixed bag of some that were not cool at all. Mm-hmm. And then I have some that were like very potent and revered. But I think it's like it's a matter of connecting and making sure you're not being leaky either. Like, what are your expectations? Not demanding that people just have bow to your authority. Like, it doesn't work like that either. So remembering, what are you bringing to the table? The other thing I talk about with the psychic self-defense class that I've taught it live, like a couple of times, but I made recently a digital download of it. It's like an hour long, because there's just this level of psychic protection that we don't talk about. And in that class, I talk about, you know, psychic protection dressing, like different ways we can accessorize our clothing, the things we wear, our phones, like talk about that, even makeup, strategic things with like colors and certain things like we're wearing, you know, like how to kind of incorporate psychic defense dressing into our wardrobes, right?
Mm.
As well as some visualization practices, but also shadow work, and not shadow just like, let me look at my ego. Shadow work from an ancestral realm, meaning like you hear people all the time, they're like, that talk about like, oh, I think I'm cursed, or there's a family curse. It's like, you're not cursed, but you have a family shadow that has turned into an external thing. And so that's a form of psychic attack as well. I don't believe in curses per se, but I do believe that there are things that can follow you around, because until it's like keeps tapping you on the shoulder until you deal with it.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can come from a family thing too. So if you have, you know, some people like, oh, I'm cursed. I think it's a family. It's like, no, did you ever think that maybe several generations ago someone did something that wasn't very cool, and perhaps nobody's been dealing with it, and it keeps getting hot potatoed to the next generation?
Right.
You're not cursed, but you got to look at your stuff. So I think that that kind of stuff too can psychically attack us, and it's our own stuff. It's not someone doing it to us. So we have to really go, okay, like, is this mine, or is this my response? It might not even be ours, but maybe it's your responsibility to address it. You may not have done it, but it's your inheritance now to go, okay, what do we do with this?
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's a lot of wounded people walking around that are just spraying their hurt all over the place and wounding other people.
So true.
So it's like,
yeah,
it's hard for a lot of people to kind of take into, again, accountability, because it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that things that happen to people are their own fault. I'm just saying, because there are horrible things that happen to people that have nothing to do with them. It's, you know, like, again, oh, there's hurt people, hurting people. But when we can, that's the other thing I like to do, is also go, okay, like, what is mine? What is the responsibility of mine in this situation? This person did this to me. How do I respond?
Mm-hmm.
What if this is actually mine? And the other thing I like to remind people that is, sometimes when people say negative things or do negative things at us, the level of intensity of how bad it harms us also directly correlates to how badly we feel about ourselves. So if you are feeling horrible about yourself and your existence, and someone threw something at you, I guarantee if you are looking for more reasons to feel bad, you can definitely eat that up. And again, it's a case by case thing. It's really nuanced. But I think that the more you get go, okay, like, was my side of the street clean here?
You
can let go of another person's projections a little with a little bit more ease. I'm not saying it's perfect. I had to set some boundaries this week with a friend and they did not react well. And I made it the gentlest, most supportive, loving kind of way I could because I didn't want to not say anything because then that would be my, I would be festering. And I was like, also, if I'm this person's friend, who's going to tell them? Like, I need to tell them.
Yeah.
If we are truly friends.
Yeah.
And it was not received well. And it's okay. I still feel like there was no blame. There was no shaming or blaming. It was very much in facts. But it's felt horrible, I would say, because this person has been reacting very negatively in response because they don't want to hold their energy. So it's coming out in the form of little like digs.
Mm-hmm.
And again, in like a lot of it is virtual.
Yeah.
Because some people too, that's the other thing why the online stuff can be so challenging is because it's a lot easier for people to be throwing stuff when they don't have you in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Constant access.
Yeah, that's why we have to constantly be clearing or taking pause and resetting.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So Marcella, thank you so much for joining us. And this was such a wonderful conversation. And thank you so much for all the like practical tips too. I think our listeners are going to find that just super helpful. If our listeners are interested in learning more about your work or they'd like to book a reading with you or get into some of your tarot decks, where can they find you?
Best way to find me is through my website, marcellacroll.com. There are links there to my web store with my cards and offerings and then to my online support things and my calendar for my private sessions.
Awesome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Thanks so much for being here, Marcella.
Thanks for having me.
That's it for our show today, listeners. As always, thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you can find and follow The Outer Known on any platform where you get podcasts. Keep the conversation going by joining us on social media. We are at Outer Known Pod on Instagram and Twitter. Our home for all things Outer Known is our website, outerknownpod.com. Today's episode was edited by Jackie Peterson and produced by Lane Collins and Jackie Peterson. Our theme music is by the ever-talented Smoke Benito, and our cover artwork is by Eric Centeno. Until next time, blessed be.